It's been nearly 4 years since then-Governor Donald Carcieri, the State Economic Development Corporation, and the General Assembly foisted the disaster of 38 Studios on Rhode Island taxpayers. A quick recap for anyone who's just returned to Rhode Island from an extended European sojourn or is finishing up one of those four-year prison terms too many of our politicians serve. Months before leaving office, Carcieri cooked up a plan to lure 38 Studios from Massachusetts to Rhode Island with a $75 million taxpayer subsidy. This untested company was run by Curt Schilling, the Boston Post seasoned pitching star who famously beat the Yankees with an ankle injury as his sock became marinated in his own blood. A fabulous pitcher, Schilling turned out to be a hapless businessman. His video game company went bankrupt, leaving the taxpayers holding an empty sock. Now the 38 Studios mess is back at the Statehouse front steps as lawmakers grapple with a Hobson's choice, whether to pay the next installment of $12.5 million in state money, which is necessary to pay off the bonds that were guaranteed by Rhode Island taxpayers. There's also an investigation by the House Oversight Committee, which is digging into details of this ill-fated deal. The sordid part of all this is that this probe has come too late. Once again, lawmakers have painted themselves into a no-win corner. The choice is either to pay the bonds and fritter away taxpayer money that could be better spent on education or filling potholes, or to walk away, defaulting on these obligations, and have our state take another sharp stiletto to its reputation. Does anyone really want to change the license plate slogan from Ocean State to the Deadbeat State? What do you think will happen when a default leads the national financial media to mention Rhode Island in the same headlines as Detroit? Do you really want to be a city or town official trying to borrow money to build a school addition or float tax anticipation notes? Experts argue over the fallout from a default, but no responsible political figure can guarantee there won't be any downside. At the very least, the history of this fiasco will be rehashed, and the nation will see that Rhode Island state government and business leaders were fools. As a taxpayer, you may ask a reasonable question. Where's your government been? Well, the short answer is that for 4 years, the Smith Hill politicians have been too busy covering their backsides. Until a month or so ago, there was never a serious attempt to figure out what really happened here. It looks like the General Assembly and maybe the Attorney General simply turned their heads, hoping it would all go away. What they should have known is that there would be a harsh day of reckoning given the nearly $100 million in taxpayer liability. Things weren't always like this. Back in the 1990s, the Assembly and then-Governor Edward Dupreet were up to their eyeballs in the anything-goes state bank regulatory climate that led directly to the credit union crisis. After the crash, the Assembly actually did the right thing, convening an investigative commission. It had subpoena powers and interrogated witnesses under oath. The panel was known as the Tights Commission because the chairman was then House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jeffrey Tights of Newport. The Tights panel even hauled in House Speaker Matthew Smith to testify. Former Speaker Gordon Fox of Providence has never addressed under oath what happened in 38 Studios, and neither has Senate President Teresa Pivoweed of Newport. No such probe was launched after 38 Studios crashed. Lawmakers were too busy sweeping any complicity they had in this deal under the maroon rugs in the House and Senate lounges. Every lawmaker but one, Republican Bob Watson of East Greenwich, voted for the measure that provided the taxpayer guarantee for the deal. With the 2020 vision of hindsight, it appears that Carcieri, most of the Assembly, and a large slice of the business community and the local media were at least enablers. Some were even cheerleaders. We all know what happens to people and institutions that fail to figure out where they went wrong in the past. They repeat their mistakes. Is that what the future holds for Rhode Island government?